Appreciate having visitors with us tonight. Encourage you to study with us. We're delighted to have you in our study. In just a few moments, we'll be standing and singing a song that Brother Butler has suggested. If you've never put on Christ in baptism, all things have been made ready tonight where you can be immersed into Christ for the remission of sins. Or if you need to make your life right, you've wandered away into sin, we'll be glad to pray with and for you if you'd make your way to the front as we sing the invitation song. And the Galatian letter and the third chapter, I want to begin reading with you at verse 10. For as many of us as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. In order for one to be justified or saved, he must have a proper Bible view of the law of God. And there are many today that claim they preach the law, and yet they fail to make a distinction between the laws in the Bible. I want us to understand there is a plurality of laws, and we need to make sure that we are following the one that we are to be under at this particular time. It is my desire at this time to get before you the correct view of what the Bible teaches in respect of the laws. One of the greatest problems that the men of God faced in Bible days was trying to be under a different law than the one that God had instituted for their period of time. So I want to first raise the question, what is the law? And one must realize there are different laws in the Bible, different laws for a different period of time. I first want us to identify the patriarchal law. And when you think of the patriarchal law, this was the law that was given before the law of Moses. This would have been during the time of Abraham until the time of the giving of the law of Moses. And during this time, God would reveal certain things to them to do. And God revealed it to the fathers of the tribes. And God spoke directly to them. So we have the patriarchal law in which God spoke to the fathers so that they would know how to live to please God. Then when you take your Bible and look in the book of Exodus and the 20th chapter, you find the law of Moses. You find where God revealed this law. You find the Ten Commandments and the ceremonial laws, the Levitical laws that were given at that particular time. Now, even here in regard to the word of the law of Moses, there are some who fail to have the correct view. There are some people today that do not look at the word of God as they should, and they want to be under the law of Moses. Some people want to, instead of taking the first day of the week to worship the Lord, they say we should meet on Saturday, and they take that from the Old Testament. But I want us to understand that there's a distinction between the law of Moses and being under another law, the law that we're to obey. But at this time, we need to understand the Jews were to obey the law of Moses. This law was given to the Jews. They were commanded to obey it. But I want us to understand this law was a shadow of one to come. Open your Bible to the Hebrew letter and the 10th chapter. And when you come to the Hebrew letter and the 10th chapter, notice, if you will, kindly, verse 3. In verse 3, notice that in that day they did sacrifices as a reminder of sins every year. But if you go back up to verse 1, he said, the law, that's the law of Moses, having a shadow of the good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never with these same sacrifices which they offer continually year by year make those who approach perfect or complete. So I want us to understand that when we look at the old law, that we understand that they lived and it was a shadow of the law that we're now under, the law of Christ. He says in Hebrews 10:1, it was a shadow of the good things to come. it was a shadow of the law of Christ. But notice, in the law of Moses, they were cursed if they did not keep that law. Go back in the book of Deuteronomy and notice with me the 27th chapter. And when you come to Deuteronomy 27, notice, if you will, verse 26. In verse 26, the Bible said, "Cursed is the one who does not confirm all the words of this law, and all the people shall say Amen." Then if you take your Bible, go back to Deuteronomy chapter 4. And when you come back to Deuteronomy chapter 4, look at what is commanded. Even under the old law, he says in verse 2, "You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you." Now we read in Deuteronomy 27 that the Lord put a curse upon the ones who did not keep the law. They did not keep the law of Moses. And to be under this curse was to be under the wrath of God. So now then, I want you to think about, we've talked about the patriarchal law, and we've talked about the Mosaic law. But I want you to think about a third law we often overlook. And that is rules made up by man. Laws of man. And the Bible talks about such. Open your Bible, if you will, to the book of Titus and the third chapter. And when you come to the book of Titus and the third chapter, when it comes to religion, we need to understand we must be careful about laws man makes, because these are laws that are not binding. In Titus chapter 3 and verse 5, when Paul is talking about how one is saved, he said, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done." Not by something man has done, but according to His mercy He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Then, if you would, take your Bible and look in the book of Matthew and the 15th chapter. And in the book of Matthew and the 15th chapter, Jesus is teaching. And Jesus says in verse 9, "In vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." I want us to understand that this is a law or a set of rules that man sets up for people to follow. You have today catechisms, you have creeds, you have all kinds of doctrines, and a lot of times it's man-made. And anything that is man-made needs to be disregarded if it's contrasting the law of God. Anything that goes against the law of God needs to be dealt away with. We're not under the law of Abraham. We're not under the patriarchal law. We're not under the Mosaic law. And thanks be to God, we're not under the law of any man. That we do not have a man to stand up and say, "This is going to be the creed at the Eastside Church." No man has that authority. So what are we under? Well, let's look at several things that is mentioned in the divine revelation. We are under the law of Christ. In the book of James, in the first chapter, James described the law of Christ as the perfect law of liberty. I like that statement. The perfect law of liberty. Compared to the Mosaic law, we are free in Christ. We're not under the Mosaic law. We're not under the patriarchal law. We are free in Christ. Then in Romans chapter 3 and verse 27, it's called the law of faith. I like that statement. Remember what we read back in Galatians just a few moments ago? That before faith came, we were under what? The law. In Galatians 3, it said that the law was our schoolmaster or our tutor to bring us to Christ. But we're no longer under that law. We are now under faith in Christ. But then if you take your Bible in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2, we see that we're to fulfill the law of Christ. The law of liberty, the law of faith, the law of Christ. And it would do us good tonight to notice it says the law of Christ. So many fail to see it as a law that it must be obeyed to the dotting of the I and the crossing of the T. But that brings up a great contrast. The other laws are not to obey. This includes the patriarchal law and the Mosaic law. If we were under that law, think about what we must do. Take your Bible and turn with me to Galatians chapter 3 again. And when we come back to Paul's epistle in Galatians chapter 3, look at what Paul says in verse 23. In verse 23, he said, "Before faith came, we were kept under God by the law, kept for the faith which would be revealed afterward. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we're no longer under a tutor." Notice he says we're no longer under that tutor, but now we are under the law of faith. And it is important that we understand that the law of Christ has now been revealed, so the old law is no longer binding. We no longer follow the Mosaic law because Christ has revealed His will, His law unto us. But that brings up something else in our study. Turn in the Galatian letter and the fifth chapter and look at what Paul says in verse 3. In verse 3 he says, "And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law." If somebody wanted to go back and live under the Mosaic law, Paul said you'd have to keep the whole law. And you'd have to keep it perfectly. And he said you'd be a debtor to the law. You must keep the animal sacrifices. You must keep the Sabbath. And then there's the curse of the law. He said you'd have to follow all of that. And if you remember, the Hebrew writer in his writing is concerned about people going back to the Jewish faith. And he's saying, you have a better sacrifice in Christ. You have a better covenant in Christ. We have a better law. But that brings up being under the law of Christ. Every man is under the law of Christ. And when you come into the kingdom of Christ, you have several things we must think about. In Matthew 28, verses 18 and 20, we're told to go teach all nations. In Mark 16, 15, we're to preach to every creature. And I want you to think about what this law provides for the sinner. The law provides complete freedom for man. In the Roman letter in the 7th chapter, you remember when Paul was writing about the law, in that very complicated yet very profound chapter in verse 6, Paul says, "But now having been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter." When one comes to Christ, they are free from law. They are now in Christ. They are now in the kingdom of God. But not only are they free from the old law, but because of the death of Christ and by the grace of God, we're free from sin. Open your Bible to the book of John in the 8th chapter. And in the book of John in the 8th chapter, look at what Jesus said in verse 32. "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And then if you drop down to verse 36, "Therefore if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." Now, I want you to think about what we've observed thus far. We've observed the patriarchal law. We've observed the Mosaic law. We've observed the laws of men. And then we looked at the fact that we are to be under the law of Christ. But I want you to think about not only what the law provides to the sinner, but think about what the law of Christ provides to the brother that sins. To an individual that's in the kingdom, but has come in contact with sin, has violated the law of God, there's still something that must be done. In Acts chapter 8, you remember Simon the sorcerer? He was one that transgressed the law of the Lord after being free from his old sin. But notice what he has to do. Look in Acts chapter 8 and notice what the Apostle Peter, says to this man. And it's a profound thing that we think about how a brother is to treat one who has sinned. In Acts chapter 8, notice that he said, "You have neither part," in verse 21, "nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this your wickedness, and pray, if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you." Look at what he said. He said, you need to tell your brother that he could do the right thing and be forgiven. You repent, you change. In 1 John 1:9, "If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins." in Galatians 6:1, if a brother is in sin, what are we to do? Restore him. We're to bring him back. And he said, you do so with a spirit of meekness and gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. But then I want you to think about curse under this law. Some people don't think about that. Some would have you believe there's no curse under the law of Christ, since it's spoken of as the law of liberty. But this is where they miss it. It has its curses just like the others. Open your Bible back to Galatians chapter 1. And when you come to Galatians chapter 1, look at what is said, if you will, by the apostle, when he says in verse 8, if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Underscore that word, accursed. Anathema. Let him be accursed. If you pervert the gospel of Jesus Christ, you adulterate the gospel of Jesus Christ, you change the gospel of Jesus Christ, the apostle Paul said, that man is under a curse. But then if you take your Bible, notice the man who does not abide in it is under a curse. Look in 2 John verse 9. When you come to 2 John in verse 9, notice that John says, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. Notice he talks about transgression. That those who do not abide in the law, they're going to be accursed. They do not have the Father. They do not have the Son. Then if you take your Bible, go back to 2 Peter chapter 2. And when you come to Peter's second epistle, notice what he had to say in verse 20. In 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning at verse 20, he said, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow having washed through the wallowing in the mire. Now, think about the individual that is cursed that goes back into the world. He's no longer receiving the blessings of God. He's no longer doing the will of God. And because of that, he is accursed. But then look at one last thing. Open your Bible to the book of Mark and the 16th chapter. In the book of Mark and the 16th chapter, what was it Jesus said? Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. That's curse. Cursed is the man that obeys not the gospel. Oh, cursed is the man who's not under the law of Christ, who doesn't put faith in Christ, who doesn't obey Christ. And so the law of the Lord is just. And as Jesus said in John 12:48, the law will judge you. He said, by my words, you will be judged. So the question is, how do you stand in regard to the laws? Do you respect the laws or are you indifferent? And the question is, are you in Christ? That's the law we need to obey. That's where we need to stand. What did we read at the beginning? He became a curse to save you from a curse. Everlasting life. He gave us everlasting life, saving us from the curse of eternal damnation. So the question we want to ask tonight is, do we stand in Christ? If you're here tonight and you need to come to Christ, our prayer is you'll see the law you need to be under, that you need to be in Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and obey the gospel as together we stand and sing.